For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, December the 29th, Ladies 115 Deliverance Meeting. Cheryl Batts is the speaker.
Amen. Well, today, what came to my heart and mind was a simple word called confessions. And being aware of what we confess over ourselves.
Yeah.
Being aware of what we confess even over our children.
Yeah.
Being aware of what we confess over our jobs and how significant that can be in our lives. Are you confessing negatively or are you confessing positively the things of God over your life? When you open your mouth, what are you saying? Are you listening to what you say? Sometimes we speak, and we're speaking from a place that we've always spoken from. And we're not listening, really, to what we're saying. That's why they tell you there's an art to listening. 'Cause, see, I can hear what you say, but was I really listening to what you said? And when you spoke it, where were you speaking it from? Was it coming out of your soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, your intellect? Or was it coming out of your spirit, that place where the Holy Spirit resides, that place where we know that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been sent, what? To lead and to guide us into all truth. Of all things. So therefore, if we are speaking out of our spirits, then what should come out of our mouth are words of encouragement, words of endearment, words that will edify people, words that will cause people to think even about what they said, words that are reflective of who you really are. Words that reflect whether you're all the way where you should be or whether or not you need to dig a little deeper. And how many of us can really confess that we still all really are not where we want to be? How affected was I this morning when Jerry said, I'm not reading the word enough? I don't think that I do. I mean, I do. But I don't think I read it enough. Because when we begin to read the word enough, the word is transforming. Because when we go back to that time when we first came to the altar and stretched out before God and gave ourselves to Him, we were hungry for the word. The word was like honey to our lips. I used to sleep with it on the pillow. You know, just in case I woke up in the middle of the night and wanted to read it because I couldn't sleep. Are we doing that now? Or has it become old hat? Has the word of God become like the husband or the boyfriend that we have that we know we can just depend on, and you know, we don't go through all of the stuff that we used to go through in preparation knowing that they were coming?
It's a good word, child.
You know, you gotta kind of, you have to keep the fire in something. You got to stoke the thing. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then. Yes. Amen. Because I want to be on fire for God. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose it because it's a safety measure for me. But it's also a safety measure for the people that I'm around. For those that I have to minister to. And I don't, you know, and when I think of ministry and I think of each one of you and the fact that each one of you knows at least 10 or 12 or 15 other people that you know either love the Lord or need to know the Lord or need to know how to love the Lord or need to know how to let the Lord in more. then that's your ministry.
That's right.
And those are the ones that you are responsible to be careful of how you confess in front of them and what you say to them. I think about my mom and my family, and as I look at my family, you know, I thought to myself at one time, I just should have stayed. I should have stayed in Chicago. I just should have stayed there. I mean, you know, my finances were much, much, much better. You know, I had a nice apartment downtown, Dorman. I was just, you know, praise God, hallelujah. This was great. But I would not have known what I know today about my family. I would not have known, because see, when I left home, you know, at an early age, so I really did not have what you would call even a relationship with my mother. Good, bad, or indifferent, mostly bad, and that wasn't good. So I had to deal with that. And I would not have dealt with that if I was still in Chicago, because see, I had an excuse. You know, oh, I can't go home. I'm busy working in the ministry. So, I can't go home. And when I go home at Christmas, you know, New Year's, you know, Thanksgiving, stuff like that. And then I'm out. So if we have a big argument, I just grit my teeth and bear it. But right here in the midst of the thing, you cannot grin and just bear it. I mean, you can. But there's something that God does to you when you're in the mix of it. And it just rubs you. Now, you can either let it rub you till you cuss. Or you can let it rub you till you get to a point you say, now, you know, this is just not right. Because she is just not going to change. Or he is just not going to change. So I get a feeling that this thing is all about me changing. So it's all about me changing. It's not about her changing. It's not about my sisters or my brothers changing. It's not even about their children changing and their attitude toward me. See, I got a word the other night that there are people around me that just tolerate me. They don't really like me.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! You lay out at night, you're trying to say, who? You're trying to think, who is it? Who is it?
Let me in.
Yes. Let me get more thought. Much as I done suffered. And then Jerry preached this morning about idolatry, and I was like, much as I done suffered. I'm like, okay. We'll kill that right away. I don't care who it is. If they're tolerating me, they got a problem, not me. I like me. Oh, they in big trouble. Because the way I'm going, I think God is just drawing me closer to him. The closer I get to him, the more they're going to have to tolerate me, and the more trouble they're going to be in. It ain't my problem no more. I woke up this morning and decided, you know what, that ain't my problem. Because when you have a gift, and you accept that gift, and we all have a gift, and God has given you a gift, and you operate in that gift, you can be sure by the people that tolerate you or halfway deal with you or don't deal with you, you can tell what the gift is. If you get around people and they say 6 o'clock and you're there at 6 o'clock and you can look at everything and you can administrate that thing, you know just what's supposed to happen, you know what's supposed to be over here, what's supposed to be over there, you hear the music, that ain't the right music for this, you know, you da, 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 da. That's your gift. You're an administrator. You know what should happen and how things should go. And people who get there at 6:15 and 6:30, rolling through the door, coat half on, half out, trying to find their place, they're not going to like you very much. They may appreciate your gift and tolerate you, but they're not going to like you very much because it means they're going to have to change and you're rocking the boat. So your confession and what you say in front of them and what you say to them can either make or break them. It can cause them to draw closer to God. It can cause them to irritate you more, or it can cause them to be irritated by the word of God until they change. I'd rather do the latter part. And I shared the other day when we were up here how God had dealt with me about being around women that ultimately I found were jealous of me. So that's probably tolerating me too. You know, they want to be around me. They want to see what I'm doing. They may want to see what I'm going to wear, what shiny stuff I may come up with today or whatever the situation may be. You know, they're going to check me out. You know, see which way I'm going to go today. So they come to whatever it is that we're doing. But they're not really there for the sake of being a part of the program that's going on. They just want to see how I did it. And the reason I know that is because in less than 3 months, they do a program and they invite the same guest speaker that I have.
Come on. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Crystal said you're not coming through the speaker on your other.
So I've you're right. So I
now you're there.
All right. So I find that in dealing with the, okay, let's go back to this point. The point of your mind being set like flint, and you're wanting to be obedient to God, watch your mouth and watch your confessions. And the closer you get to God, the more you can realize that people around you are either tolerating you or are jealous of you. But then the more and the closer you get to God, the more intense your ability to discern becomes. And I believe that God allows us to keep going through and running into those same people who do that same thing over and over again so that you finally get a revelation of what's really going on and recognize that it's not you, that's not them that's going to change. It has to be you because God is interested in you.
Amen.
Now, he's interested in them, but you see, that's not your problem.
Amen.
You become your own personal problem, and God becomes your answer. So what you have to do in turn is you have to stop being concerned about whether they're tolerating you, whether they're jealous of you, and say, okay, God, I see this now. And this comes after a long period of time. I mean, I'm 2 years short, 1 year short of being 60. So for a long time, I have noticed this in people who get around me. And guess what? It's not just women. There are men that I've seen the same spirit of jealousy and tolerating me come up. Now, I believe that this last step that I saw God do within my heart to confront that issue only came after I myself went through a series of purgings. You know, first of all, he had to purge me of my idolatry, my low self-esteem. He had to then purge me of being concerned about what man had to say about me. Then he had to heal me of the offenses that happened to me because I was always tall and skinny. And all those other things that made up the person that I was before I knew him. And before he began to purge me and do the work in me to make me that person that he created me to be from the beginning of time, before I entered into my mother's womb, I was with him and he knew who I was going to be. And in order for me to get there, I had to go through all of these purging experiences, recognize they were there, cry out to him to be set free.
Yeah.
And until that happened, these people were going to keep cropping up in my life because demons are like dogs after a dog, another dog in heat. They just smell you out. And they're going to keep coming till you get bathed in the Holy Ghost. And the oil of gladness rises up in you, and whatever that thing is they're sniffing, they won't sniff no more.
That's right.
Because you would have allowed the Spirit of the living God to work in you and to operate in you to purge whatever that thing is that keeps drawing the same kind of people in your life.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So after he got me to a point where I had, you know, you got that checklist. Well, let's see. I hadn't seen them in about 3.5 to 4 months, so it can't be anything that I said. You know, do I know their mama? Do I know their daddy? Do I know their uncle? Was it their child? I mean, it's this checklist that you do when you know people don't like you or they can't tolerate you. You go through this checklist of trying to figure out if you did anything that you need to repent of, you need to apologize to them for, or, you know, whatever that is. Now, the more you get in the Lord and the more He purges you and the more understanding you have about who you are in Him, the checklist gets shorter.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, you begin to shut the door on all of those things that were on the beginning of your life at that checklist. And you stop crying about them, because most of the things on that checklist happened to you between first and sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
When your friends said things about you. You know, you're the first one in class to have breastises. And boy, did they tease you. You know, you were the first one to get hips. You were the first, I mean, you know, you were the first one to be tall. You know, maybe you had large feet. They didn't know you just had big feet. They did not know you were going to be 5'11 and the best looking princess in God's army. You know what I'm saying? So they just was picking on you. So all of the things normally that we go through in our lives that cause us to slow down our walk because we become introverted and concerned about what I have done, what's wrong with me.
Come on.
Instead of realizing that God has never made any junk, you may have a few little stones in you, you know. Just jump back on the potter's wheel. Just sit there for a little while. You'll be okay. Your biggest problem is that you keep jumping off the potter's wheel.
That's right.
You know, nobody likes being on the potter's wheel. And then when you see the oven coming, that's really like, whoa. You're really not too sure about that. You know, until you have gone in the oven a couple of times and realized, you know what, this ain't all that bad.
That's right.
You know, last time I came out, boy, I tell you, the last time God let me off the potter's wheel himself instead of me jumping off, that was pretty good. I kind of liked that experience. That's when you come off and you just be, you know, you just be a barrel of 45 for Jesus. You know, every demon you see, bam, rah, rah, shoot now, speak later, you know. But that's when you let him finish with you. And then you just step off gracefully. You know, otherwise, you know, when you get off the potter's wheel, you know you sling off. And when you sling off the potter's wheel, you know you're already kind of, you know, jelly-like. So now you messed up, and here you come. All in the spirit, just looking all messed up because you jumped off the potter's wheel. Instead of just sitting there and letting God finish doing what he's going to do for you. Because he's so wonderful. He has the precise eye. He knows exactly what you need. And if we, by our confessions and by what we say, could just get to a place of trusting him, trusting that he really is the potter and that he really does love us. But what happens is, it's all up here, as Jerry said. Oh, man, that just struck me. Because it's all up here for us. There are people sitting in this room now that can quote scripture 41:7-24 faster than I can, than the speed of bullet, faster than myself. But as you speak that word, has it come from here and got here? So that daily when you get up, you know who you are. And so that what people have to say and what people are saying about you means absolutely nothing. Because you are waiting to hear what God has to tell you today. What's up, God? What? So after all of my purging and after all of the confessions, and sometimes I was confessing things I just knew wasn't right, but I was having a day. I wanted that day. That was my moment, my time, and I was going to have it. So I confessed it. I don't like her. I've never liked her. And I don't have to like her. God said all I had to do was love her. But I ain't got to like her. I don't even know. Kill her, God. Just kill her. And then, you know, this is like everything else. You sit there for a few minutes and then you start weeping because you know. You he just had a fit. And he said, well, God, I'm so glad you didn't kill me right then, because I probably would have just busted the bottom out of hell, because you'd have caught me right in the middle of something I shouldn't have been saying. Because the Bible says it's sin when you say it, you know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? You're just sitting there, you know, just depending on God's grace and depending on God's mercy. So as I began to recognize the people that were in my life that were jealous, what happened was, somehow by reading the Word of God and somehow by staying in this walk and somehow by understanding that most people haven't got a clue what purging and deliverance really is, and the joy that it can bring, and how it can jumpstart you into a walk that you never want to get off of, that you never want to back up on, that you never want to let go of. You begin to look at that person just a little differently. And sometimes it takes a while. But now I found myself in the past month, and this person is very close to me. And there were times I would see things and all. And then I said, oh my goodness. And I said, oh my goodness. What I began to realize was that this person has great skills and great talents, but her previous experiences with other women have not allowed her to see me for who I am, and that I don't intend to treat her the way that she was treated before. It's not even in my heart. So as I begin to cry out to God and ask Him, now what can I do? In the beginning He said, just walk the walk. Just do what I tell you daily. I was not allowed to say anything to her. What I had to do was prove by what I did, how I talked to other people, and how I handled business, that I was not like the other people, the other women in particular, that she had worked with. And it seemed she just, you know, to me it seemed like she was getting worse. And I was like, oh man, this is not working. Because the name of our organization is People Helping Others Excel by Example. So I'm like, okay, God. I say, no, this ain't working. So then He released me, and I began to speak words of encouragement to her. I began to call her up early in the morning with a word from the Lord. Because, see, she knows the Lord. She knows the Lord. She's seeking after the Lord. But guess what? Her whole basic foundation came out of Catholicism. And then all of a sudden somebody jump-started her into a big church where the words came up on the screen and people were singing this music and the church was big and the people were dancing around and she was totally freaked out. But I don't think anybody began to minister deliverance to her. When you talk to her, you can tell she's a prophet in training. She's very prophetic. And she has a lot of moral value. You know what I'm saying? She's not the kind of person that would just really, if she knew she was doing what she was doing, operating in this witchy, crafty, jealous thing, she would be so shocked at herself, she would stop it. See what I'm saying? But I had to find that right moment and that right time. And sometimes I'm not the one. Just like when I brought Tanya, I wasn't the one. I knew that Tanya needed to get what she got. But I knew it wasn't supposed to be me. So that's how you know how you got to die to yourself and watch what you confess and watch what you say. It wasn't for me to pray for Tanya. It turned out that it was Debbie and Laura. And they gave her a fit and never raised their voices in doing it. So it came, it broadsided her. God broadsided her. Because she had told God before she got here. She says, if I don't get some deliverance today, I ain't going to believe this thing. I ain't coming back. And I knew she had told me, she said that. She sat down next to me, and she was sitting there, so it was time to pray. I got up and I moved. And Debbie was looking at me, she was rocking. And Laura was looking at me, and I said, I just went on pray for somebody else. And they just waited to the right time, and then they had at it. She's still talking about it today. Y'all got to come with me out to Lake Avenue, Abigail. See, because God knows what we need.
Yes, amen.
He knows what we need. And He also knows what this young lady needs. And I've encouraged her. I've told her how wonderful she is. She is one of the best leaders that I've ever met. She has all the leadership skills. I mean, she's an army brat. So I know that she has the ability to lead this organization where God wants it to go. But she's going to need that she's had a Damascus Road experience, but she's going to need somebody to minister to her at the right time and the right moment. So I want to make sure that I'm listening to God, that I say to her what I want to say to her, because she is one of God's children. And all of the other stuff that I saw, all of the other stuff, it doesn't matter anymore. So that tells me that I'm not controlling her, but that God has delivered me. So I'm no longer concerned about who's tolerating me and who's jealous of me anymore. What I'm concerned about is, does she be made whole? Does she can be healed? So that she can come into the fullness of all that God has for her. Because I can see it in her. I can see it. And I want it for her more than she wants it for herself. Because she's still suffering with low self-esteem. She's still, you know, she's still there. So I say to you today that it's all about God. It's all about how we open ourselves. It's all about our confessions and what we confess over ourselves, what we confess over our children, what we confess over our situations and confess over our husband. Everything God says has told us and He has let us know in His Word that we are spirit. And just as we are made in His image and He spoke the world into existence, so as we as women, we speak into existence that we say into the environment and the atmosphere that we are in charge of. So it becomes our ultimate responsibility to speak well over situations, to speak well over people. And I say that just because I wanted to tell you that testimony, because I wanted you to understand that it didn't happen 10 years ago. It took God some time to work out those things out of me so that I could see and get that log out of my own eye of not wanting to be around anybody that cannot tell you don't like me, honey. I go where I am like. Sometimes that's not possible. I had to stay there. I can't leave. So what was I going to do in that situation? I just kept going to God asking about myself. You know, why do I keep going through this? What's in me that, you know, that you need to get rid of? Because I'll tell you, if you ain't ready, I am. Hey, I'm ready. So if you're tired of going through the same thing over and over again and ending up in the same rut, the same result, then finally come to the conclusion that it's not everybody else, it's probably you.
That's right. Amen.
And the sooner you come to that conclusion, the sooner that you can get out of whatever it is that is harassing and tormenting you. So today we are going to make some positive confessions over our lives. And I hope that you don't mind that I did not have a lot of scripture. I just felt like I needed to speak to you, you know, real. Because I've been to a lot of churches, and a lot of my friends, my girlfriends are pastors' wives and everything. And I really feel kind of sorry for them sometimes. And I really pray for the pastors here in Hot Springs, and I pray for the pastors' wives, because they seem to think that they cannot be real. And they lead their entire lives as though it's some kind of fantasy. When their children are caught in the drug houses and pregnant out of wedlock and dating the drug dealers, they just like, you know, God's doing a work in them. I say, yeah, but they wouldn't be sitting up in my house eating my chicken either.
That's right, amen.
You know, taking my debit card, and I'm wondering where my money is going.
Amen.
No.
Amen. Amen.
No, it's just not. You know, and heaven forbid that they would get in the car and come out here and get some deliverance. It's like, oh no, well, you know, I'm so busy. It's okay. It's okay. Someday you will be at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Someday you will come. But the most of the reason why they don't come is because they're scared. Somebody has told them something, and they're scared. And they figure, you know, and the thing that is amazing to me is if you know the Word of God, and they know the Word of God, and I've taken them over the Scriptures, and they still do not come, then that's why my prayer is so intense, because I feel in my heart such a passion for them to just get a taste. So that they can really be free and really be who God has called them to be. Because in many cases, they're not really even who God has called them to be. They're doing what somebody mentored them and told them that they were supposed to do, be, and say as a pastor's wife. Having never come to a place of knowing who they really are and creating their own atmosphere and knowing their own strengths. And operating in the gift that God has given them. And then being tied up in a traditional church where you already know your husband is an apostle. You already know that you're a prophet. And you're in a traditional Baptist church teaching traditional Baptist things. Because you're afraid to get out. Because you don't want to have to be on your own. Because most of the time when you start being apostles and pastors and teachers, it takes you out of that traditional thing, and you don't have a church, quote unquote, backing you. So if you don't have a church backing you, then you don't have money unless you have a job. We need to pray for the body of Christ. We need to pray for the pastors, and we need to pray for the wives that are caught up in these positions without realizing that they need deliverance. You know, finally, a couple friends and I were talking about it, and you know, this may be a bad confession, but this is one confession that, you know, I'm okay with it. They say that this is that the deliverance is the last ministry on the body. It's a garbage can ministry. Well, I thought about it. I said, yeah, I use plenty of garbage cans myself over the years. That's all right. Now, that's one confession I can deal with. You know what I'm saying? What else can we be? Because I found myself, you know, laying in the floor. People tease me a lot of times about the way that I dress and everything. We laugh about it. You know, I love to dress. I love clothes. But you know what? I believe that God's done that for me because I have spent my time in my good suits face down on the floor receiving deliverance. Or I don't think twice about what I have on if I see a sister that needs to be delivered and she spits up all over my suit. So what? Like it can't be cleaned? Like, who gave me the suit? So it's not, you know, I just accept who I am, but it's not all that important. It's not all that important. I am never so dressed up that we cannot sit down and have some prayer. Never. Never. Because the joy of seeing people set free and that freedom and liberty in their eyes when God has visited them. Because the violent taketh it by force. And when you have been delivered, you have received unto yourself the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! That is an awesome thing. As the devil calls us dirt bags, to be able to receive the kingdom of God into ourselves. And know that we are wonderfully and beautifully made. That we are powerful in the Holy Ghost. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And these are not things that you need to have up here. These things need to be in your heart. When I look, just one more thing and about confession. Now, Patty and Lake Hamilton, all of my brothers and sisters here, they know that I have been, and Crystal, even though she's gone away and everything, she's still my sister. And she knows that I've been really praying for Hot Springs and praying for a building there that's called the National Baptist Hotel, and it's on the National Register for Historic Places as the Woodman of Union. And God let me know that that building, He had that building for Himself. He wants to do something in that building for Himself. Now, it's going to take millions of dollars to refurbish that building and get it brought up. 5 years, God's number for grace, that we've been working for the building and the neighborhood surrounding it. We've got it all fixed now so that the city can't do nothing, because it's been recognized, the area and the building, as a national designation. So they was pretty hot. They was pretty hot at us. But I tell you, we travailed to find out what to do in order to get it done, because I had no idea. I didn't go to school for that. So when it came up and we did it, not only did we do that, but Embassy Suites was supposed to take the plot that the building was on. And the man has got money. They say when he buys up a building to build Embassy Suites, he buys 6 blocks at a time. I'm thinking 6 blocks in either direction, we're going to be messed up. So I'm like, okay, God. So we got everything all lined up. They came to the meeting that day. I called up the churches. I was like, okay, y'all, we need to go to the church. Well, what are we going to say? I said, just show up. Just show up. Just show up. Don't worry about it. Just show up. We're going to, you know, because we need to, this is the neighborhood. God wants to do something in it. So y'all just show up. They showed up. Now, needless to say, that was probably one of those things that, you know, when you get a room about this size, and normally it looks like this room does, you know, a little snowflakey like. And y'all get that in a minute. And then all of a sudden through the back door, you know, all of a sudden through the back door, you get about 60, 75 black folks coming in dressed up with prominent pastors leading the way. Those in charge were like really freaked out. But that let them know that we were concerned about the neighborhood. So they backed off. And we've held them in abeyance for 5 years. Six weeks ago, they started work on the building. And they had already set the paper up for demolition January 1 because they didn't believe that the owner was going to do it. They got the building, they got the apartment done within the building 2 weeks. 2 weeks under schedule. 2 weeks under schedule. Not only did they have the people in there, but they got an apartment in there. And I'm telling you, they were hot. The leader showed up with cameras on unannounced, trying to find reasons to still tear that building down. But I knew in my heart that God was saying no. That this building is going to stand, and it's going to stand for what it was built for, and he's going to use it for God. He's going to use it for his own purposes, and I knew that. So after all of that, I found myself 3 or 4 days ago in the building with the owner, 2 bankers, the architect, and the contractor. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, had I left my home 1 minute sooner, had I did anything less, I would have missed that meeting. But I was like, okay, God, I can go. I'm about ready to go. He found something else for me to do. So when I hit the door and I made the corner going to my office, the owner was going across the street, and I called him on his cell phone, and he said, you need to go to this meeting. 5 years he's never invited me to a meeting. But I had the vision. And I kept confessing over the building every time I would go by, Jesus. It's for Jesus. I would bind every hindering thing that I could think of that came to my heart every day, every time. We're talking 5 years and 8 years total on that building. And now we know for sure it is not going to come down. We will be in that building with the ministry that God has given us. And we will have 1,200 square feet. And we're believing God to give us that whole fourth floor so that we can have church conferences, gospel concerts, gospel plays on that fourth floor. So God is an awesome God. And I'm telling you, there was no way just by looking at it, because Jane's been in the building. There's just no way by common everyday me looking at it that it could have happened. It was God and God alone and what he showed me in that I had to learn how to confess. So I'm telling you, what comes out of your mouth is for real. And it will make or break you. It will set you up. It will put you in a position to be in the presence of kings when you're the only one in the room without lunch money. What was I doing there? God made sure that I was there at that time with those people. And that's why I say that many times God will prepare you for something. He'll get you ready for something. And you may be overdressed for where you are, but you're dressing for where you're going to go. Because God has some place for you to go, and He's going to give you the wardrobe that you need. I told the ladies all the time, for the past 4 years, every year, either in the summer or the winter, depending on what I needed, I would get 3 to 4 garbage bags this tall full of clothes. Every year. This last time, it was coats, furs, shoes, everything. And as I was taking the clothes out, believe me, I was not so dull with it that I wasn't looking at them clothes thinking to myself, I'm finna go somewhere. Because see, this was Maggie Sweet, all them name brand things that I know I would not, could not at this season of my life buy. I said, mm-hmm. I said, God finna take me somewhere. He said He would change my garments. And He's starting to change my garments. So I give God the praise and the glory and the honor, because all a part of our confession is also a part of our testimony. So when people ask you to give the testimony, you need to give your testimony and not miss that opportunity. Because as you testify about the things, as you testify about the things of God and what He has done in your life, somebody will be encouraged. Because somebody's been confessing about something for a year and starting to get tired. I'm telling you, we've been confessing for 8 years. We've been confessing for 8 years. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, trying to get to that building, because once we get in the building, it's rent free. Because people are never going to give you all the money that you need, because they're waiting for you to fail. They can't help it. That's how the devil sets things up. Waiting for failure. But God says He'll take the foolish things to confound the wise. In Gideon started out with a whole bunch of people. He was probably feeling pretty good about himself. And then all of a sudden there was 300 people there. God said, that's it. That's what I want. I need just that's all I need right there. We probably got the smallest board in town. But that's the way that God wants. Because see, He's going to get the glory. God will get the glory from me, and I get to tell y'all a story. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is something that I have, and I enjoy these confessions. These confessions were written by Chip Hill. Chip is, I spoke to Glenn a few months ago about being ordained again, and I will be ordained under Chip and Darlene Hill and Word of Faith Church in Virginia. Now, don't ask me why. I can only tell you that that's what God put on my heart. Because, see, there were a lot of other pastors, African-American, that I could, you know, that I could have thought about. But that wasn't what God did. And I don't know if you've ever been to Monterey, Virginia or not, but Chip and Darlene said that the Highland County is the whitest county in the whole nation. Don't ask me what God's doing. I don't know. I'm just going. And I had a good time. They like me. I had a good time. So, I brought this back, and I want to share this with you, and we're going to speak these words over ourselves today, because I believe that these words have power and might. I believe that Chip was under a strong anointing when he wrote this. I think he's a prolific writer, and I believe God put this on his heart, and I want to share this with you. These are things that I confess over myself every morning, and I believe that as we read them, that you'll feel the anointing of God come. The Bible abounds with encouragement to diligently confess God's word concerning the blessings His kingdom offers us. Words spoken from the mouth transmit images for better or for worse. And if we allow biblical promises to build correct images inside of us, we will consistently believe and say the right things and experience God's blessing in our lives. James says that the course of a man's life is set on fire by the tongue. Therefore, it behooves us to speak correctly so that the fire we light will be a good one rather than a destructive one. So for your benefit, I, Chip Hill, have prepared the confessions in this tract. They are based entirely on the Word of God and will, if given the chance, take your faith to newer and higher levels. Read them aloud each day and prepare to receive the blessings they invoke. Please stand on your feet. We're not going to confess sitting down because I know it's hot. And I just believe that Thursday is a good day. It's a good day to die on Thursday because you fast. So just stand up, stretch your hands up to the Lord and say, Father,
Father,
fill me up.
Wake me up.
Let me receive
all that has been said.
Let me not forget.
Let me not stray.
For I love you. And I know that you are Lord of lords,
and that you are King of kings.
And as I read these confessions,
as I speak these confessions,
let them do a work in my heart. Amen. Now the first one that we're going to do, I'm going to stop for a moment and I want you to put your name in that place. And then we'll go on from there. All right? Knowing that life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Knowing that life and death are in the power of the tongue.
And that our lives are powerfully affected by the words we speak.
And that our lives are powerfully affected by the words that we speak.
I do hereby order.
My conversation aright.
That I might experience the salvation of God.
This day and forever.
Concerning the state of my spirit.
I'm a new creation.
Spiritual death.
Guilt.
Shame and unworthiness.
Are passed away.
And new things have come.
I'm now fully alive unto God.
Wrapped in the road of righteousness.
Even Christ's righteousness.
And I'm part of his eternal kingdom.
I'm accepted in the beloved.
Justified by his blood.
And spiritually seated with Christ.
In heavenly places.
I'm a partaker of the divine nature.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Redeemed.
Sanctified. And cleansed. All is well with my spirit.
Concerning the state of my soul.
Jesus is made unto me wisdom.
And I have the mind of Christ.
Prudence has entered my heart.
And knowledge is present to my soul.
Discretion preserves me.
And understanding keeps me.
By the word of God I keep myself.
From the path of the destroyer.
And walk in right places.
By God's word I am free from bitterness.
Self-hate.
Self-pity and pride.
For nothing.
Restful in spirit.
And Holy Ghost peace guards my heart and mind.
My thinking is in line with God's word.
And my speech lines up with truth.
My emotions are steady.
And my sleep is sweet.
All is well with my soul.
Concerning the state of my body.
At the cross, Jesus purchased healing for me.
He was wounded for my transgressions.
Bruised for my iniquities.
Punished for my peace.
And by his stripes I was healed.
My bread is blessed.
My water is blessed.
And Jesus takes sickness from the midst of me.
He forgives all my iniquities,
heals all my diseases,
and redeems my life from destruction.
The blessing of help has captured me.
My brain functions properly.
My internal organs are sound. and my balance is sure. God's word is life and health to all my flesh. Jesus is the Lord, my healer, my strong redeemer, and the resurrection life pulsating throughout my being. Near me no plague survives, and a healing river flows strong. His word effectually works in me because I believe it. All is well with my body. Concerning the state of my finances, at the cross, Jesus exhausted the curse of poverty. Though he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that through his poverty I might be rich. I'm abundantly supplied. The blessing of the Lord, it makes us rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. He gives me richly all things to enjoy. And I experience an overflow. Because I tithe, and because I give to the poor, the Lord opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings that both overtake and overwhelm me. My storehouses are full, and my cup runneth over. I sow cheerfully, give bountifully, and experience an awesome return. I cast my bread on the water, and blessing comes back on every wave. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. My finances are indeed blessed. God takes pleasure in my prosperity, and all is well with my finances. Concerning God's protection in my life, angels surround and keep watch over me, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord delivers me from the snare of the enemy. No weapon formed against me prospers. Peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition are my portion. God covers me with his feathers, and under his wings I find safety. Because I am diligent to speak the word, angels minister to and for me, protecting, sustaining, and strengthening me. Angels are encamped around about me, thwarting all Satan's ambushes and foiling all his plans. My shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. My strong confession builds an impenetrable seal, a solid front, a force field of protection. All is well with me, for I am protected. Concerning the favor of God on my life, like a cloud of the latter rain, God's abundance grace overshadows my life. Today I find favor with both God and man. By his favor my life is enriched. By it I'm satisfied. By it I'm preserved and surrounded as with a shield. My works are established, and what I put my hand to prospers. God's arm is strong for me, and his hand is mighty. By his favor, my horn is exalted. Yes, life is good beneath his favor. Say that again. Yes, life is good beneath his favor. Concerning the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit in my life, today I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Today I walk in love. Today I have joy unspeakable and fullness of strength. Peace beyond understanding guards my life. natural for me. Wisdom and self-control.
Hold me steady.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness
is typical of me.
And
I abound with good fruit.
I am also a vessel of Holy Ghost power.
And anointing. Spiritual gifts. Regularly rise up to meet the needs of the people. Regularly rise up to meet the needs of the people. The Holy Spirit uses them to encourage, comfort, and edify others. Through
them,
Jesus heals people, delivers people, and brings much glory to God. Today, I walk in my destiny and experience the Lord's abundant power concerning my place in battle. I am a spiritual warrior. The word of God is my mighty sword.
The blood of Jesus
covers me
and defeats the enemy.
The strong name of Jesus is on my lips.
When I pray,
heaven moves.
When I make decrees,
the enemy obeys. When I submit to God and resist the devil, demons flee. I'm a Holy Ghost war machine. Aggressive. Spiritually violent.
Determined.
And irresistible. I'm an intercessor. A soul winner. A healer of the sick. And a liberator of human lives. I'm a demon chaser. A stronghold destroyer. And a mighty woman of the kingdom. I'm word trained. Wilderness tested. Furnace hardened. And equal to the test.
Set before me.
When I rise up in the morning,
demons tremble.
Angels rejoice. And humanity is blessed.
I'm a holy warrior.
Concerning the final years of my life,
even to old age
and gray hairs,
God is my strong support.
He made me
and will carry me.
Planted in his house,
flourishing in his courts.
I will still bear fruit
in old age.
I will show generations to come
that the Lord is upright
and faithful
in all his ways.
In famine,
he redeems me from death.
In war,
he redeems me
from the power of the sword.
In scandalous times,
he hides me
from the scourge
of the tongue
and delivers me
from fear of destruction.
To my dying day,
I will have a sound mind,
clear vision,
a passionate heart,
and a spring in my step.
I will come to my grave
in a full age,
like a shock.
A corn
comes in its season.
I will run my race
with patience.
Finish my course with joy.
And depart this life in peace.
Precious in his eyes
will be my death.
And I will be greeted
by a vast host of friends
and loved ones in heaven.
All is well with me.
As I grow older.
Father, I thank you so much for these confessions.
Father, we have spoken them and we believe them.
And Father, I just loose these confessions over these your women.
And we thank you for this word.
We give you praise. We give you glory and honor.
And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.